Medical information obtained from our website or the live show is not intended to be a substitute for professional care. If your pet has or you suspect they might have an illness or other medical condition, you should consult a health care provider. The opinions expressed on this radio program are not necessarily those of All Paws Pet Talk, this radio show, or their sponsors.
And now live in this studio, it's the All Paws Pet Talk call-in radio show with a valuable knowledge and expertise of our panel guests ready to take your calls. Listen for the phone number so you may call in live. Take it away, panel.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to All Paws Pet Talk Ask the Vets. My name is Karen Watts, also known as Karen at petoftheday.com or Karen at dogoftheday.com or catoftheday.com. So I tend to get questions from my people for all those critters. And we have with us today Dr. Carol Osborne.
Good afternoon.
And Kevin Fitzgerald. So we are all sounds today. Welcome to All Paws Pet Talk, Kevin.
Thanks for having me.
Now, as I just told everybody, I get questions from all over the map, all sorts of things, but there was one story in the news this week that I wanted to talk about with you guys because so many people tend to feed people food to their pets and think it's okay. Now, there was a story this week about a cat in New Zealand, actually, who has lived on McDonald's food in the parking lot for a year and ended up very, very sick. He was living off chicken nuggets, and sometimes people would throw him hamburgers from the car and French fries, and ended up in really, really sad shape. Now, people think, well, cats live on meat. That would be okay. Dr. Carol, do you want to talk a bit about that?
You know, absolutely, Karen. Certainly when it comes to pet food, when it comes to people food, we're talking about quality. So if you're feeding a cat basically McDonald's, you shouldn't expect good results because obviously that's not possible because of the level of quality of the food. So it's a silly thing to do, and it's silly to think that that would possibly be a healthy diet for an animal, much less for a person. So in my opinion, no, that's that's absolutely uncalled for, and people food is just food. It's regular food. It's real food. It's honest nutrition. And that's what people need, and it's also what pets require.
Right. And Dr. Kevin, have you ever had any patients think it's okay to give their you know, cat French fries and things like that?
Well, you know, Dr. Osborne is right on the money. You know, I think that, you know, it's very hard with my own cats and dogs not to give them a treat once in a while. But I think we have to have some prudence and some good judgment. You know, everything that they eat depends on what you give them, okay? You know, they're not wild animals that hunt down, you know, things that they eat. So they're at the mercy of our good judgment. And so I think that, you know, it's hard not to give them a French fry or give them a piece of the cracker, but it's not wise. And I think also that they can get stubborn and know that they can hold out, and that if they hold out, mom's going to bring something better. The other thing I think is tiny kittens and puppies, to teach them that their food is theirs and yours is yours, and to not start them, you know, eating from the table with you or giving them scraps. You know, I think probably the biggest thing I've seen in 30 years is the change that in animals in terms of obesity, and the problems that Dr. Osborne and I and veterinarians across the country see as a result of just obesity. Heart disease and arthritis, diabetes is rampant. I mean, so I think that we have to have a good judgment about what we feed them.
Yeah, and I completely agree with Dr. Kevin. It's about judgment. Certainly, you know, one French fry here and there isn't going to hurt anyone. But providing your pet a complete diet of that type of food, it's not sensible, it's not logical, and it's not healthy. So certainly everything within reason. You know, treats, healthy treats kept to less than 5% of the diet makes sense. Living on food like this certainly doesn't make sense. And keeping in mind, as Dr. Kevin wisely mentioned, that over 50% of dogs and cats in this country are currently considered to be clinically obese. not only does that shorten their lifespan by one third, but it also predisposes them to all the diseases that Dr. Kevin just mentioned, including cancer, and particularly in cats, lower urinary tract disease.
You know, that leads right into my next question. By the way, this kitty was eventually rescued from the McDonald's parking lot, and while it took the shelter staff a little while to convince him that cat food was indeed what he should be eating, he is doing much better now and getting a much better diet and more balanced food. I had a question from a woman named Kat in Los Angeles, who is it's a kitty question. And she asked, is any form of cranberries, cranberry juice or cranberry pills or any form of cranberry helpful for a kitty that has urinary tract problems occasionally? Is there anything else I can be doing for her?
Certainly, cranberry extract is excellent. We primarily use it to acidify the urine pH. It's important to keep in mind that urine pH needs to be acidic, which means the pH needs to be less than 7. Ideally about 5.5 to 6, that maintains an acid environment within the urinary bladder, and it helps to prevent urinary tract infections, not only from occurring, but also from recurring. And cranberry extract is available in a variety of forms through the veterinarian online as well as over the counter. And certainly talking to your veterinarian about the best extract at the proper dose is always a wise decision.
You know, I had heard of cranberry juice for humans. Go ahead, Dr. Kevin.
Well, no, that's exactly right. That you know, Dr. Olson was right on the money. That you know, what she said, to acidify the urine and to make a more of a hostile environment for, you know, either bacteria or stones to form. What I found, though, the problem with that is, you know, the half life isn't very long, and you have to give it probably a couple times a day at least, you know, to make any difference. And so I think, you know, if you forget a couple of days and you know, or you know, give it often enough, you know, I think also in visiting with your veterinarian about if your animal does have problems with formation of crystals or stones or chronic infections, to try and get on a diet that is more friendly and to make it harder for the stones to form and keep things in solution. So, you know, I think just regular checkups are so important in visiting with your veterinarian, who is as far away as the telephone.
That's right. So is if you have a kitty like that who's, you know, prone to occasional urinary tract problems, is it something you could maybe give her whenever you feed her, give her some cranberry in it?
I think so. I think that'll be, you know, if you make it regular. But I think to do it intermittently, you know, you have to do it, you know, consistently, and you have to do it at the right dosage.
Yeah, and I completely agree. You're looking at a 2 to 3 times daily dosage, and consistency is key.
Well, you know, that's the same with us human beings. Some of us, I am a person with asthma and allergies, and as long as I'm consistent taking my medicine, I don't end up getting myself into trouble too.
That's right.
Now, it is springtime. Is there anything that people should be looking out for? We've only got about a minute left in this segment. In terms of how their pets are reacting to changes in the weather.
Yeah, run with the ball, Dr. Carroll. You got a minute.
Well, certainly it's spring and all the things that come with spring, from fleas and ticks to bugs and mosquitoes that carry heartworm disease, are all elements of ultimate concern in the spring. So again, seeing your veterinarian, addressing your vaccines, your flea and tick, as well as your heartworm control, is all very appropriate to do each spring.
That's right. You know, and seasonal allergies, we do a pollen count at the Rocky Mountain Poison Center, you know, and they do it every month. And between the 1st of March and the 1st of April, it went up a million times. So things are starting to bloom, springtime in the Rockies here in Colorado and everywhere else. And so, you know, if the animal does have seasonal types of allergies that you know, cause problems, you know, sometimes you take a black light to a cat, you can just see the lining of the coating of the dander of the different pollen and dust and things that can cause allergies.
That's right. And, you know, as a human with allergies, I look out and I see that my dark green car is now faintly yellow, and I know it's time to pay attention. Folks, we are out of time for this segment. Will you stick with me?
I will.
I'm right here.
Hopefully all right. Okay. We'll be right back with more All Paws Pet Talk. Ask the Vet.
Get in on the fun and the rewards of caring for animals as a professional. Train to be a pet groomer or a veterinary assistant at the Florida Institute of Animal Arts. Turn your love for animals into a lifelong career. There are thousands of jobs in the growing professions of pet groomer and veterinary assistant. We help place graduates. Ask about tuition financing. The Florida Institute of Animal Arts, Winter Park, 407-869-PETS, on the web at myfiaa.com.
Treat your furry best friend with a Clear Conscience. Clear Conscience Pet, that is. Everything made by this family-owned company is artisan crafted in the USA. From family-farmed ingredient sources, holistically formulated for your pet's best health. And just plain delicious. Their treats, chews, and the amazing super gravy food topper for dogs and cats are simply the best you can buy. And the company has won 5 National Nutrition Awards to prove it. Now, Clear Conscience Pet is launching the Sliders brand, a true breakthrough in meaty treats featuring the purest tender meat treat ever made. No grain, no gluten, no glycerin or other chemicals found in typical moist treats. Sliders are pub fun snacks made from lean meats nutritionally optimized with omega-rich organic flax and veggies. Enter the offer code RADIO at checkout and save 20% at clearconsciencepet.com. Your pets will love you for it.
Back to All Paws Pet Talk, Ask the Vet. Now, we have Dr. Kevin with us, and he is in Colorado. And this is his first time on the show. We were just talking about spring in the Rockies. And so that's one thing that, you know, around the country we face, we have different things that happen each spring, you know. I'm sure spring in Arizona comes a long time before it does up here in Boston. And I think, Dr. Carroll, you get spring around the same time I do out there, don't you?
We most certainly do. The flowers are blooming and the pollen is flying. And it's also important to remember that allergies in pets cause itching and scratching. Allergies in humans cause lots of sneezing.
Yeah, that's right. The target for them is their skin. And so, you know, we see them itching, scratch, chewing at the feet, shaking the head, you know, itching, you know, at sides, and people we wheeze and hack, and so it's a little bit different, you know, target wise, but still, anything that you can be allergic to, your dog can. We're lucky in veterinary medicine, and we have boarded dermatologists, and a lot of the skin problems they deal with from allergies can be tested for. They do a skin test where they put 60 different allergens under the surface and see what they react to. And so we had a dog here with one of the dermatologists that he reacted to the oil from human hands. He's allergic to people. So it's anything that we can be allergic to, they can, and vice versa. You know, we had one that's allergic to cats and a dog the other day that's, you know, horribly allergic to rabbits. So you see these things and, you know, you think it's humorous, but it's never humorous. To suffer allergies are probably one of the most frustrating things that Dr. Carroll and I see. You know, nobody gets better, but we can try and manage it, you know, and try and keep it down to a dull roar, you know. So I think we're in our infancy, but we're doing much better, even, you know, since I've been out of school, to see what we can offer people.
You know, and I completely agree, you know, with Dr. Kevin. Allergies, I'm a veterinarian, I'm allergic to animals, so I'm right there with everyone else. And certainly there's no magic bullet or instant cure for an allergy. It's a long process where you need to try to eliminate as many potential environmental allergens as you can. And simple things that you can do for pets, distilled water versus spring bottled or tap water certainly is important. Feeding your pet from a steel, ceramic, or glass bowl is also highly advised. That way we eliminate the plastic, the BPH, and all the potential allergens and toxins associated with that. Certainly simple things like a weekly bath with organic oatmeal shampoo is probably one of the singlest least expensive, most effective things that you can do to simply remove the dander, the pollens, and the allergens from the surface of the pet's body for pets
and
that have...
You know, that's one of the things that we always used to do is when our Great Dane, of course, Great Danes have that really sleek coat. When she came in from being outside on a day like today, which outside of Boston is a beautiful spring day, pollen everywhere, we're waiting for rain to stomp it down into the ground, was where often we would just run a damp paper towel over her coat, and that would not only help her, but it would help the rest of the family who, you know, because she liked to sleep on my bed, I really didn't need her bringing all that pollen to bed with us.
No, that's right. They're like a chamois cloth, and just, you know, they just concentrate all that pollen and dust and all the different things that you can be allergic to in the house. Synthetic fiber and everything.
And one of the things you just mentioned, Dr. Carroll, was one question I had today, which was one of the ones I didn't get to email you ahead of time. This is from Pat in Michigan. And she said, could you ask the vets about what they think about giving cats tap water to drink? I use a Brita filter pitcher for my own drinking water. It tastes better, if nothing else. And for a while, I used to do this for the cats, too. And then I happened to think, wait a minute, they use their tongues as toilet paper. And surely tap water isn't going to be used to that. So I've been using tap water for the cats instead. Is that true, or are there other impurities in tap water that are potentially harmful to them? And she is in Ann Arbor, and the tap water in Ann Arbor is supposedly very pure as tap water goes.
You know, and I'm sure that it is, assuming that the purity meets the current FDA standards for water purity, which means that the allowable amount of lead, arsenic, mercury, cadmium, fluoride, chlorine, just for example, are all there at the amount that the government considers allowable. As a veterinarian personally, I don't feel that any of those toxins are healthy, nor do they contribute to an optimal health status. Consequently, because you are what you eat and drink, and that applies to people as well as pets, as well as to Pat's cat, once again, distilled water is just that. It's pure water with no lead, arsenic, mercury, cadmium, or any other potential contaminant in there. So it's 79 cents a gallon. In my opinion, it's well worth the extra effort. But certainly, everyone has to do what's best for them and what works within their means.
That's right. And
no, that's right. That's exactly right. I think, you know, different parts of the United States, the water is better in some cities than others, but overall the standards that, you know, that the government sets are uniform, and they have to come up to a certain standard. But, you know, I mean, are there any acceptable levels of lead? You know, I mean, do you want any of it? You know, even though,
right.
I mean, what's an acceptable level of a poison? And so, you know, it's a little bit more expensive. You know, is it overkill? Maybe in some cities where the water's, you know, better known, but you're certainly not going to. There's no downside except for a little bit more money. You're not going to hurt them by going with a little bit better water.
Yeah. In addition, you know, going with better water is kind of like going with better food. It's not that you see the savings on a daily basis, but by trying to keep your pet healthy, the money that you save would be the cost of that veterinary visit for that emergency call, in which case all of those pennies that you thought you were saving, you just spent.
That's right. So, and as she mentioned, she has the Brita filter. So she's already filtering water for herself. So it really isn't a waste for her to filter water for the kitty cats, huh?
Certainly not.
No.
Okay. You know, and in our next section, we're going to discuss a kind of a yucky question. But it is the perennial question that seems to come up from time to time, all over, you know, from dogs everywhere, sometimes run into this. And I'll just leave you all hanging for that and have one little quick question for you. Is Moesha in Tennessee said, what do the vets think of checking my diabetic cat's blood sugar at home. Is it possible to do this? Is it safe to do this? And will I get an accurate reading?
Well, that's a great question, but I can tell you from experience with the diabetic cat myself that there are better monitors right now, blood tests that we can do that are really easy and simple. And, you know, in the old days, you know, trying to catch urine and stuff, but monitors we can use at home are inexpensive, and your veterinarian can direct you to these. So it is possible to check the glucose at home. And it can be done inexpensively and safely.
Excellent. You know, we are out of time for this segment. I'm sorry, folks. We always run out of time just as we get going. We'll be right back with more All Paws Pet Talk Ask the Vet.
Hey, pet lovers, please listen up. I want to introduce to you Nature's Logic, the most natural full-line pet food ever made. And here's why. Nature's Logic is made with a variety of high-quality proteins, such as beef, chicken, lamb, and venison. You will never find any synthetic vitamins, minerals, or anything else synthetic in Nature's Logic. Only real nutritional foods, such as dried blueberries, apples, carrots, cranberries, spinach, and almonds. Foods loaded with natural vitamins and minerals, as made by nature, not a chemist. Nature's Logic is committed to providing the highest quality and safest nutrition for the furry members of your family. So, folks, here's what I want you to do. Visit the Nature's Logic website at naturslogic.com and find a store near you. Nature's Logic can be found in many independent stores throughout Colorado, New Mexico, and Wyoming. So, do your pets a favor and start feeding them Nature's Logic and treat them to the very best. Nature's Logic is truly 100% natural, the way pet foods should be.
Welcome back to All Paws Pet Talk Ask the Vets. Now, I warned you that this was going to be kind of a yucky question, but Sheena Cassie in Dudley, Massachusetts, asks, why, oh, why does my 2-year-old boxer Sheena want to eat poop? She'll try to eat her own. She tries for cat poop from the litter box, and she'll even dig through the trash for my toddler's poopy diaper. What can I do about this?
You know, that's not an uncommon problem at all, particularly when you have a little toddler in the house. There are many dogs that will revert and start urinating, et cetera, and defecating in the house that's directly stimulated, you know, by that little baby. So basically, you've got a bad habit or you have a nutritional type deficiency. As far as bad habits, certainly – you know, removing your cat's feces from the litter box and making the litter box inaccessible to the dog, as well as your toddler's diapers, would be the first step in order. As far as eliminating a bad habit, there is a commercial product called Forbid, which is simply added to the food for a couple of days, which, in my experience, has done a nice job of eliminating that type of behavior.
No, that's right. I use Forbid as well. You know, This is like Dr. Carroll said, this is a common problem, and you know, probably we're asked weekly, you know, about this, and if not daily sometimes, and it's a vile habit. You know, you don't want somebody coming up and kissing you that, you know, has been out in the yard grazing or going in the cat box. Dogs will find the cat box, you know, they'll find them like little chocolates and get in there. You know, the people always ask me, what is he deficient in? And they're not. They're not deficient, you know, in anything. What I find is that, you know, if you read Mark Beckoff or Ian Dunbar, some of the dog behaviorists, wild dog ethologists, wild dogs eat feces if they come across it, you know, and they might not catch something to eat every day. If you have to chase down everything you eat, you know, you might, you know, just eat what you find. But also, it's more than that. Mother dogs will eat the feces of the babies, you know, to try and regain nutrients, but also to protect the babies from potential predators who could follow them, you know, because of that. And so we'll see a lot of wild canines that do it. So it's a holdover of a dog behavior. But also I find, you know, like Dr. Carroll said, boredom, something new in the house, a new baby, you know, the stimulus of that baby urinating and defecating, you know, it can stimulate things. But But this is a common behavior. The Forbid works great, though, and the manufacturer says 90% of dogs. But I found it, effective, but very effective if the people will consistently do it.
Yeah, yes. My results have been the same.
Well, I happen to know Cassie, and I know Sheena, and she's a very healthy, very shiny, very wiggly boxer pup, and she is about 6 months younger than the toddler whose diaper she's trying to eat. So it's
a common problem.
Well, hopefully Cassie can find some help with Forbid. You know, with two small children in the house, keeping the dog and the two small children all away from each other's stuff can be a challenge. Now, here's a very different question for you, and it has to do with plants and trees and birds. Now, this is from McDougall. He is in Plymouth and asks, are the stagshorn / sumac, and gives the Latin name Rus typhina, trees poisonous to any kind of parrot or similar bird? I was thinking of building, I've had one in my garden as long as I can remember, but I was thinking, is it really, as it's really fast growing and can be pruned right back to a stump and keep growing, it would be good for some providing some foliage, lots of perches, and their wild birds and ducks have been around the tree without any problems. And he was planning on building maybe an aviary around one or planting one in an aviary, but wanted to make sure there's nothing about sumac or stagshorn tree that would be bad for the parrots.
Well, I personally don't have an answer for that particular question. What do you think, Dr. Kevin?
You know, I'd have to look it up, but I could do it quickly. You talk about something else, and I'm going to know in 1 second. I'll get on the poison decks here at the Rocky Mountain Poison Center. You keep talking, and I'll find out for our friend.
All right. Now,
we've got ongoing research to answer these pet questions.
That's right. And, you know, that's one thing. I know vets, just like our medical doctors, are continually upgrading their education. Now, here's a question for you, Dr. Carroll. With the recent events, you know, I'm in Boston, and we had the horrific bombing at the marathon. And now recently there was the fertilizer plant explosion in Texas. And you're wondering why I'm talking about this with pets. Well, we see the detection dogs that are used to search the debris for survivors, for explosive remnants, et cetera. Do these dogs, do you know, end up with respiratory problems after such events? Because they're purposefully sniffing in, you know, all sorts of what I think of as nasty stuff.
You know, Karen, that's a great question, especially because of the Boston Marathon situation. And what I can tell you is that the dogs that were involved in the 9/11 rescue all died of respiratory failure. And many of the volunteers and people that went there to dedicate their time to help in that particular tragedy are currently suffering from chronic respiratory problems directly related to 911, for which the government, at this point, to my knowledge, has not offered any type of reimbursement or help or support in any way, shape, or form.
And, you know, I'm thinking of I've seen lots of shepherds in Boston, you know, doing sniffing the debris and all, and they have such long snouts. Would it do any good for the handlers to get into the habit of, I don't know, rinsing the nose out, you know, squirting some water into the nose and making the dog sneeze when they're done or anything like that?
You know, quite honestly, that sounds good, but you have to remember that when you breathe something, it's inhaled and it goes all the way into your lungs. So, you know, squirting some water here and there is not going to eliminate that.
Okay, you know, it's just another risk that these animals and people take trying to help prevent these tragedies and to help people recover from the horrific effects that,
you know, that's a great point. In fact, there's a team of golden retrievers from the Chicago area Lutheran Church Charities. They're called Canine Parish Comfort Dogs. And they were flown in by United Airlines just the other day to try to help some of these victims and survivors and provide them with a little bit of a comfort level. In fact, one of the first requests for a canine comfort dog was, in fact, from a 9/11 survivor who moved to Boston from New York in order to feel safe and then, you know, witnessed and got involved in the horrific explosions. So these dogs have a very valid place, and they perform a much needed service. And for that service, they, in fact, as many of the human volunteers, literally risk their life because of the adverse consequences that they are forced to suffer, when these missions have completed.
They're heroes.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
They absolutely.
I'm back. I found out about Sumac.
Well, you know, We are out of time for this segment, both of us, so we will have to have the Sumac and Birds question in our next segment. Folks, you've been listening to All Paws Pet Talk Ask a Vet here on All Paws Pet Talk Radio. And if you ever want to check us out on the website, it's www.allpawspettalk.com, and you can listen to the show 24/7 right there. There's a link right there on the homepage. Folks, we'll be right back with more All Paws Pet Talk Ask the Vet.
When it comes to health expenses, dog owners have it rough. Now, thanks to veterinarian and dermatologist Dr. Kristen Holm, your dog can be goo healthy. There's Doggy Goo to fight environmental pet allergies, Goo Gut Rescue for rescuing your dog's gut health, and Goo Silver, a broad-spectrum supplement for the special needs of your senior varsity dog. So visit HealthyGoo.com today or call 855-246-2426, and your dog can be healthy goo healthy.
For your dogs, running beside your bike is more rewarding canine exercise than any walk. It's also more dangerous. Until now. Introducing the amazingly stable Bike Toe Leash, the only safe dog biking attachment approved by the American Pet Association. The Bike Toe Leash installs in seconds on bikes, trikes, power chairs, and mobility scooters. No tools needed, and dogs learn it immediately. With a Bike Toe Leash, both dogs and rider can enjoy fun recreation anywhere, no matter what your ability level. To learn more and order your Bike Toe Leash, visit BikeToeLeash.com. That's BikeToeLeash.com. Bike Toe Leashes are made in the USA and ship worldwide. That website again is BikeToeLeash.com.
Welcome back to All Paws Pet Talk Ask the Vets. Now, in our last segment, we had sent Dr. Kevin off, who he nicely was going to research for us, whether sumac or staghorn trees, I guess they're probably called different things around the country, would be safe for parrots. McDougall, our person in Plymouth, was thinking of building an aviary around one. Now, what did you find, Dr. Kevin?
Well, we found that there is one paper on sumac causing GI problems, GI upset in birds, some diarrhea and maybe a little bit of abdominal discomfort, but nothing. The worst ones for birds that I find are dumb cane and umbrella plant, peace lilies, some of the different clematis and creepers where they can cause real problems. Lilies in particular can cause, we know about cats, but there have been a couple of reports in birds. Rhubarb, if they overeat it, it forms oxalate crystals. And so I think I'd be careful about what plant we put in there, and I think I might find something different than the sumac.
You know, and you mentioned right before we were going to break the Colorado Poison Center. Where is it? If somebody else was curious, if they're at their computer at home, where can they look up such things?
Well, the easiest place, I think, would be the National Poison Hotline in Champaign-Urbana at the University of Illinois, and, you know, associated with the veterinary school. And there's a National Poison Hotline. I don't have the number right in front of me, but they do so much great work. Also, there are regional poison centers in your part of the United States. Here at the Rocky Mountain Poison Center, They get nearly 9,000 calls a year about animals. So there's 14 nurses on call, you know, around the clock, and they answer questions. So, but I think, you know, your veterinarian or our national animal poison hotline would be the places to call.
And it's okay to call ahead of time before your pet gets sick if you're planning on doing
something. Well, I think so.
Like,
I think it's always good to do, you know, a little bit of foresight, you know, a pound of an ounce of prevention worth a pound of cure.
Absolutely.
And you know, different trees grow in different parts of the country. And while macaws and other parrots are native to South America, you know, I'm sure there are trees there that aren't good for them, and they know to avoid those, but they're not going to know what to do with a tree that's not native to their environment that they've never seen before.
No, that's right. And also boredom. And, you know, I mean, you know, birds are intelligent, and you know, they can get bored, and there's nothing else to do but except pick at these leaves, you know.
That's right. You know, people see the parrot's beak and they think how pretty it is, but they don't realize how destructive it can be. And, you know, you give parrots toys knowing that that toy is going to be destroyed. That's the parrot's fun thing to do.
You know, something a lot of people might not know that are bird fanciers and have indoor birds is that if you cook with Teflon and you keep your bird in the kitchen, those fumes are toxic and can potentially kill your bird. So that's just a little tip for people with birds.
Yeah, you know, you heard of the canary in the coal mine. You know, using these animals as sentinels for other poisons that have been used for, you know, for decades. And so, you know, tragically, it can come home to roost.
That's right. You know, and I always think if it's going to kill a bird, it's probably not great for me either. I'll just deal with, you know, putting sufficient stuff in my pan so things don't stick. Thank you. Now, on an entirely different matter, I had a goat person with a question. Her name is Scotty. She's in Tennessee. She has 7 goats. There are 5 does and 1 is pregnant. A while back, one of her does, which is a Nigerian goat, started itching herself a lot. She was itching so badly, she was rubbing her hair off and then got scabby patches, and then another doe started to itch. Today, while she was starting to get itch patches of hair out too, and she doesn't know what's going on. One of the goats, the Nigerian who first got it, accidentally scraped open one of the scabby areas, and there was yellow pus in there, and she's horrified. And what does anybody know what could be causing this and what she could do? The affected areas are on their sides, legs, and neck.
Well, I think, sadly, people oftentimes waste a lot of time with home remedies and ineffective treatments, over-the-counter medications. And the best thing, I think, would be to get a trained set of eyes on it. And again, her sound and thorough and competent goat veterinarian in her area is as far away as the telephone. This could be a fungal infection that's secondarily infected. It could be bacterial, probably a parasite. We know it's contagious. It's going to the other goats. So, you know, I think before it goes any farther, you know, the animal already is into some discomfort, let's load up the goat and get seen, or have, you know, the large animal vet that has a house call practice will come out, you know, and see the animal.
In addition, they come out, they take a skin scraping, you know, plus or minus, you know, using a black light, they'll find out exactly what it is and offer the particular remedy in need.
Yeah.
And, you know,
it's hard to say, you know, they ask for like a diagnosis over the phone. It's like, put your phone up to the goat, you know. what they need to do is they need to get there. Maybe even as simple as a Scotch tape test. If it's, you know, one of the goat forms of Kyloteel, the walking dandruff mites are common in goats. And so, you know, we see different things. I've kept goats for, you know, for a long time. And you know, I think the easiest thing and the most effective way is to get to somebody that's seen it, that's familiar with these things, and get a good, safe, effective treatment that works.
Well, and especially because one of them is pregnant, you know, and I think a lot of the times my husband and I have had petoftheday.com for over 15 years now, and people go online and ask me questions. I am not a veterinarian. I run a simple website for pets, and they ask me questions, and they try to search online to find answers that a trained veterinarian can, you know, tell you a lot easier. And yes, the internet is free, but also it, you know, you can get 15 different answers for the same question and none of them may be right.
No, that's right. That's right. I think you get what you pay for, you know? And so I think getting a relationship with a good veterinarian for your goats, you know, I mean, no matter what animal, these animals are a commitment, you know, and they depend on you for good decisions and good judgment. And we need to remember that every day.
That's right. And especially because she's got one pregnant doe, you know, you don't want something contagious to be around when that new little kid is born. And there are things that could be in the environment as well as, you know, things that, of course, they're goats. They're going to bump into each other. So if it's anything that can transfer from goat to goat, it's going to happen.
No, that's right. So I think we need to nip that in the bud.
And I agree.
Now, you know, it's also true that it is spring, and could it even be allergy related for goats? Or, you know, we always hear that goats eat everything. Do they get allergies too?
Well, any mammal can get an allergy, and even we see, allergic hypersensitivity reactions in non-mammalian species. So, sure. But with that thing being contagious to another goat, you know, unless they're related and they have the same allergy, but that's very suspicious to me that that's a contagious thing that needs to get seen.
Okay, folks, we are running out of time for this segment, which we always seem to do. We'll be right back with more All Paws Pet Talk Ask the Vet.
As a dog owner, you know that dogs can eat just about anything. But when food becomes a health troublemaker, or your animal has been on antibiotics or heavy meds, or GI issues set in, your animal's gut may be out of balance and needs Goo Gut Rescue. Goo Gut Rescue is 100% natural and veterinarian prebiotic and probiotic formulated to rescue your animal's gut from bad bug dominance. Remember, your dog's total health begins with gut health. Don't delay. Visit GooGutRescue.com.
Does your dog have muddy, dirty paws? Well, here's your answer. The Paw Wash cleans dog's paws fast and easy. Just insert your dog's paw and leg into the device and pump up and down. The Paw Wash's unique hourglass design creates a suction of power that pulls that dirt, mud, sand, or salt off the paw and leg, and it stays in the device. You can clean all four paws in a little over a minute with just one fill. For retail or online sales, go to www.thepawwash.com. That's www.thepawwash.com.
When it comes to health expenses, dog owners have it rough. Now, thanks to veterinarian and dermatologist Dr. Kristen Holm, your dog can be goo healthy. There's Doggy Goo to fight environmental pet allergies, Goo Gut Rescue for rescuing your dog's gut health, and Goo Silver, a broad-spectrum supplement for the special needs of your senior varsity dog. So visit HealthyGoo.com today or call 855-246-2426, and your dog can be healthy goo, healthy.
Welcome back to All Paws Pet Talk Ask the Vets. Now, this is our last segment for today, so I wanted to give you a chance to mention your websites, Dr. Carol.
Well, I'm Dr. Carol Osborne. You can visit us online at carolonpets.com or at drcarol.com. We also welcome pet questions and offer pet health consultations. You can call our office toll-free at 1-866-DR-CAROL, which translates into 866-372-2765.
You know, and do we still have Dr. Kevin with us?
Still here.
Did you have a website or any way thing you wanted to mention if people wanted to contact you?
Well, I don't. I'm a poor but honest general practitioner in Denver, Colorado. I think your veterinarians in your community, we're very lucky in the United States to have a strong veterinary community, and I think you're as far away as the telephone.
That's right. And you know, if anybody has any questions, if they have a question specifically for Dr. Kevin or even for me, who remember, I am not a veterinarian. I just have a pet website. I've had one for many years and I've loved animals my whole life, but I'm not going to be able to answer the technical questions. Any questions you have for me, Dr. Carol, Dr. Kevin, anyone on the show, you can go to allpawspettalk.com and there's a form right there on the homepage. Now, we are dealing with mud and the advent of new bugs, and I understand from a lot of weather reports that they're worried that different bugs that are more common in the south are making their way further north. Are there different ticks and things that people should be looking out for this year?
I think as we hike, we should always examine our dog when we get back, you know, to look for the ticks. You know, thick-coated dogs is difficult, but I think always to have a good examination after we hike, to check their feet, to check behind the ears, check inside the ears, you know, and check the long coats, undersides. And so, you know, ticks are notoriously opportunistic to try and get a free meal so they can, you know, carry out their life cycle. And so we are seeing the emergence of some animals. The fire ants didn't do exactly what we thought they would do. They moved, and they did it by interbreeding with native species and becoming more cold resistant. So they're much farther than we thought they'd ever get. So, you know, it's things like that, I think we need to be pay attention when areas where we put on bug spray. These things are opportunistic biters and can make our pets miserable and also carry diseases.
And, you know, we had someone on our website the other day whose dog got a snout full of fire ants. Being a shepherd mix, you know, she's curious about things and stuck her nose where she shouldn't have. And now, is there anything that the person can do to safely get the fire ants out of her yard? And what can she do to help her dog recover? She gave her some Benadryl, and that took the swelling down. But she's also dealing with the fact that now her dog seems to be afraid to go out the front door.
You know, certainly relieving the inflammation, considering, you know, for example, a nice soothing, like organic oatmeal bath, maybe a little aloe vera if there's, you know, some lumps and blumps are, you know, in hive type situations left over. With respect to how to actually eliminate the fire ants for her yard, I will take that question and throw it to Dr. Kevin.
There are companies. I was lucky enough to live in New Orleans for a while, and you know, that we think that, you know, 1 to 3% of people are allergic to bee stings, and also we see hypersensitivity in people and dogs to the fire ants. The fire ants, they bite and anchor their head, and then they sting in a circle around the head bite. So they're naughty, and so, but there are companies that will come out and to take care of the mounds. The problem with the fire ant mounds is a lot of times we don't know for a while till they're even there, and so. But it is possible to get commercial pest people to come and take care of your yard.
And, you know, and of course, anybody who has a dog knows that the dog is going to find the trouble long before you happen to spot it. That is the glory of having dogs who are curious and have strong noses. Speaking of strong, I had one question from someone who, okay, this is my doggy niece. She is newly adopted. Her name is Angel. And she is a best guess boxer bulldog mix, but her nickname has gotten to be Stinkerella. she can scare herself off the couch with the odors emanating from her back end. Is there anything my brother can do to try to remedy this situation?
Well, this is a problem with certain breeds, and particularly the brachiocephalic snub-nosed breeds that have a short nose. They have an elongated soft palate. They've got a tiny trachea. They're respiratory cripples, you know, and so they swallow a lot of air when they eat, and they gulp it down when they breathe. So the air has to go somewhere, and it comes through. So for some of these breeds, you can help a little bit by, you can try and wet the food, you can try and there are different products on the market, Gas-X and Beano. I had English Bulldogs for a long time and tried chlorophyll tablets. You know, I think that nothing works great, and some of it comes with the territory of having that breed. And Dr. Carroll can probably elaborate.
Yeah, no, I absolutely agree. And remember that probiotics are great for replenishing the GI system with healthy bacteria to absorb the previously digested nutrients and eliminate a lot of those bad gas-forming bacteria.
You know, that's something that I didn't think of, because, of course, their previous dog was a Dalmatian lab mix, and Lady was just fine as long as nobody gave her any pork products. You can safely sit on the couch with Lady, but Lady has traveled to the Rainbow Bridge, and so now Angel is much loved, and we're very glad that the cats have decided to forgive my brother, even though now he's wondering if he should just install rubber sides on his walls, because now the kitten has somebody with its energy level, so they kind of bounce off the walls in the middle of the night. So just slowing down her eating and the probiotics or the chlorophyll would be something you'd suggest?
Yeah, I tried the chlorophyll tablets with greater or lesser success. I don't think it worked great. The Beano and some of these different things that you know, will supposedly eat up some of this gas. I tried activated charcoal as an absorbent to try and, you know, eat up some of the gas that was ballyhooed for a long time, about 20 years ago. But, you know, I mean, if you go to the supermarket, it's a problem in people.
Right. So I was going to say Beano is marketed toward people.
Yeah, there's a lot of a product on the market for folks, and so you know, I think that but some of it is the breed. You can do some things with trying to make a more optimal type of GI flora, but a lot of it is the breed and swallowing air.
Okay. Well, you know, we will love Angel regardless, and just maybe not sit on the couch with her right after dinner time. I want to thank everybody. You know, we are out of time for this week. You've been listening to All Paws Pet Talk. Ask the Vets here on All Paws Pet Talk Radio.